أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. إن شاء الله we are back to our class today. Today's date is 18th of October 2020. Same platform. Irshad al-Ummah WhatsApp group remains our class. Alhamdulillah, we have been trying to run up and down in our previous classes, trying to make sure that a lot of things that are going to be hard are made clear. We have successfully discussed about a lot of things that Nahwu encompasses. And we got to Bab al-I'rab to make things much more easier for us, in order that we won't have to be asking a lot of questions or too much questions, or won't have to be confused while the class is going. So we decided to delve out of the book to explain those things explicitly. We successfully expatiated to the angle that I want us to stop. Now it's time to come back to the book and continue from where we stop. So in the Kitab al-Ajrumiyya, or Nazm al-Ajrumiyya, or Matn al-Ajrumiyya, as you would call it, we've discussed about Anwa' al-Kalam, which is the first bab, the first chapter of the book. We discuss about it, and we discuss about as al-ismu, al-fi'lu, and al-harf. Having successfully explained this, now we go straight to the second bab. The second chapter reads Babul I'rab, Babul I'rab, al-i'rab, al-i'rab. One might ask, what is i'rab? Al-i'rab is a word gotten from the root word a'raba. A'raba is a'raba yu'ribu i'raban. A'raba yu'ribu a'rib i'raban. So al-i'rab means grammatical analysis. You won't understand what we mean by grammatical analysis here if you're not a linguist or a linguistic student. But what we mean, just take it, it's very, very simple. What we mean is explaining a sentence. That is grammatical analysis. Explaining a sentence. So when you explain a sentence, to break it to your listeners or your students, what you successfully did there is grammatical analysis. So in Arabic, we call it al-i'rab. An i'rab in Arabic is a kind of different from other languages, in the sense that in Arabic, I told you that an-nahw tends to look at the last letter of a word and what that last letter carries translates the word. So if a letter, for example, al-masjidu, al-masjidu, mosque, carries dhamma at the dal, which is the last letter, that dhamma signifies something. If it carries fatha, it signifies something. If it carries kasra, it also signifies something. Hence, in those three conditions, in those three states, they are going to be translated in different forms. Mind you, the word al-masjidu remains mosque, but the terms of usage then will now change. So it will change from either you're going to the mosque, or the mosque was built, and then you want to narrate something about the mosque. You want to tell someone that the mosque was built by so person. That is in the aspect you give it a dhamma. Or you want to tell somebody that there is something inside the mosque. So another good example is when you take the name of a human being, for example. Let's say Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example. You say Muhammadu. You say Muhammada. You say Muhammadin. Ra'aitu Muhammada. Muhammad here with fatha. I saw Muhammad. Qala Muhammadun. Muhammad said. Muhammad here with dhamma. Wa aminu bima nuzzila ala Muhammadin. Muhammad here with kasra. And they believe in what was revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you can see that Muhammad remains Muhammad, Muhammad, Muhammad. But the terms of usage now changes, because even the dal there, the Muhammad itself, had undergone three stages: fatha, dhamma, and kasra, and all of them are not translated as the same. For the first instance, we have fatha, or we say ra'aytu Muhammada. Muhammad is an object there. It's an object. I saw Muhammad. I have explained what to me by object, subject, object, and predicate. So Muhammad there is an object. I saw Muhammad is a sufferer of an action. He was the one that I saw. I'm the one that saw him. I'm the one doing the action. And he is the one receiving the action. So he's the object there. That's why you have fatha at the top. Now, the second one, where we say, Qala Muhammadu, Muhammad said, he is the one saying now. He's the subject here. He's the doer of the action. Is the doer of the action now. So qala Muhammadu with dhamma, Muhammad is the subject here. And wa aminu bima nuzzila ala Muhammadin, Muhammad is also an object here, but by clause. It's an object by clause. It's not a direct object, but it's an object by clause. So when you want to explain all those things in Arabic, you would need al-i'rab. So for example, what we say, let me just give you a glimpse of what we are going to be talking about when we actually go inside those al-i'rab. I will try to be detailed as I can, and I will try to also summarize as possible. So when we say al-i'rab, what we're going to be talking about is, for example, we say okay. Let me give you a very simple one before we start to go into those complex ones. Doroba. Yes, this is Doroba. No, this is Dorob too. Doroba Umaru. Umaru. Moh. Mahmuda. Daraba Umaru Mahmudan. Mahmuda. Daraba Umaru Mahmuda. Not Mahmudan. Okay, we can say Mahmudan. Anyhow. Daraba Umaru Mahmuda. Mahmud having fatha at the end of the letter, which is dal. Okay, now. If we want to i'rab, this is what we do. We say daraba. Now al-i'rab. Al-i'rab. Daraba. We say fi'ilun madi. Fi'ilun. We say daraba. Now the i'rab would look like this in Arabic, plain Arabic. فعل ماضي فعل ماضي مبني على الفتحة الفتحة الظاهرة على الظاهرة على آخره. تاتس فضربة. Then عمر would explain. Umaru, fa'ilun, marfu'un, bidhamma, al-zahira, ala akhirihi. In other words, you can also say فاعل مرفوع وعلامة رفعه الضمة. Or you said بالضمة just directly. So anyone, whichever one you want to take. فاعل مرفوع بالضمة أو فاعل مرفوع وعلامة رفعه الضمة الظاهرة على آخره. Then محمودة. محمودة would now be مفعول به منصوب وعلامة. Let me use this approach now. نصبه الفتحة الظاهرة على آخره. So you witness that this i'rab is actually not easy. That's why I never wanted us to just dive in like that, because if not, it will just look as if we just brush it, just talk on the things and just go, and nobody understood what we speak about. But if you calm down, you'd discover that we have mentioned a lot of things that I'm just mentioning here. Now let's go again. ضرب فعل ماضي مبني على الفتحة الظاهرة على آخره. I explained that الفعل الماضي ends with فتحة always. If you go back to our فعل الماضي class, you would get this again. That's why I told you this clips is subjected to frequent listening. You don't just listen to it once and just do away with it. So if there's anything you don't understand, you can actually go back to fi'l madi, because we had had a class on fi'l madi. Now, I mentioned that fi'l madi ends with fatha always. That fatha must always be there. So doing it in Arab, we say fi'l madi, daraba is a fi'l madi, is a past tense, mabni ala al-fatha, that is built upon fatha. That is the sign that makes us to know that it is past tense, is the fact that it ends with fatha. And that word is bound to end with fatha, cannot end with kasra or dhamma. Now, the fatha is not just ordinary fatha, but al-fathatu al-zahira. This made me to underline it. Al-fathatu al-zahira ala akhirihi. What do we mean by al-fathatu al-zahira? An obvious fatha. An obvious fatha. A fatha that is seen, you saw the fatha written there. It's not muqaddar. We are not just assuming fatha to be there. No, the fatha is there. So it will come a time where we are assuming fatha to be there, but this is not the time. So here now we are seeing the fatha. So that is what we call al-zahira. When we say zahir, something that is obvious, something that the eyes can see, that's what we mean by zahir. So al-zahira ala akhirihi, with an obvious fatha at the end. That is daraba. Now, Umaru. Umaru, we say fa'il marfu. Fa'il marfu. Subject is a subject. The meaning of fa'il is a doer of an action. Someone that carries out an action is fa'il. So, fa'il marfu is a subject of the sentence, and it is marfu. What do you mean by marfu? I told you that when we talk about marfu, we are talking about dhamma at the end of a word. So, Umar marfu'un bi dhamma. It is marfu with sign dhamma. The sign that makes us to know that it is rafu is dhamma. And any name that is rafu in this kind of sentence is the subject of the sentence. Now, the dhamma is not just an ordinary dhamma. It's not a hidden dhamma, but a dhamma to zahira also. I'm underlining it. It's a dhamma. It's an obvious dhamma. A dhamma that is reef is a manifest dhamma that you can see. So the dhamma is ala akhirihi, at the end of the word. So Mahmud, we say maf'ulun bi, maf'ulun bihi mansub, wa alamat nasbihi al-fatha al-zahira ala akhiriha. Maf'ulun bihi means the object of a sentence, that is the receiver of an action. Someone who is receiving the action is the maf'ulun bihi. And this maf'ulun bihi is always mansub. I've been mentioning mansub. What I mean by mansub is having fatha at the end of a word. This is quite different from fi'il madi, because when we're talking about mansub, we're not talking about a verb. We're talking about a noun. So when we say mansub, we are talking about an object. And an object cannot be a verb. So if it comes in the case of a verb, like a past tense that has fatha at the end, you don't say this fatha is mansub. You say this fatha is mabni, because the fatha can never live there. It's bound to be there. But when you're only talking about it now, you will say mansub. Wa alamat nasbi'i al-fatha. Why do you say mansub? Because the fatha is not mabni. Something that is built, a house, for example, cannot be moved from where it is to another place, because it is built. The foundations and everything are there. If you want to move it, you would only have to break the house down and start all over again. But if it's not built, for example, a car, you can actually move your car from one place to another. That is because it's not built on that particular place. It is parked. So, relating it to what we're talking about here, Doroba, which is a fi'il madi, is a built fatha there. You cannot take it out of place. But Mahmud, which has fatha, you say mansub, because that same Mahmud can be Mahmudu, can be Mahmudi, can be Mahmuda. It can take fatha, it can take kasra, and can also take dhamma. So what we're saying here, in other words, is the difference between the fatha in fi'il madi and the fatha in the object in a sentence. So we say maf'ulun bihi mansub. The object, Mahmud, is the object. If you forget what we mean by object, is the receiver of an action, someone that is receiving the action, something that the action is made, is did upon, is done upon. Sorry. So maf'ulun bihi mansub wa alamat nasbihi al-fatha. What is the sign of its nasbu is al-fatha. That is what shows us that it is mansub. And this fatha is not just an ordinary fatha, but al-fatha to al-zahira. Mark this word, al-zahira, al-zahira. Because as we go in, so go for that, we'll start to see al-muqaddara, which is an assumed fatha, or assumed dhamma, or assumed kasra. So this is what we are expecting in al-i'rab. Let's take a recap. Daraba fi'il madi mabni ala al-fatha. الظاهرة على آخره. عمر فاعل مرفوع. I told you فاعل is a doer of an action. بالضمة الظاهرة على آخره. محمود مفعول به منصوب وعلامة نصبه الفتحة الظاهرة على آخره. With this grammatical analysis, you can now tell, okay, this is the verb, which is the action done. This is the person that carries out the action, and this is the person that receives the action. You would want to ask yourself why this is necessary. This is very, very necessary, because without those letters, I can just say Daraba Umar Mahmud without putting any letter at the last, without putting any sound at the last letters. It will become very, very ambiguous for you, because in this aspect, someone is beating and someone did the beating. Now we have two names, Umar and Mahmud. Who did the beating? Who was beating? Who beats and who receives the beating? So it becomes a confused statement for you. So for it not to be that confused, for the sentence not to be misinterpreted, those sounds we initiated, and during the initiation, the initiated this i'rab alongside with it. Another good example is when I tell you Daraba Musa Isa. You see, Musa and Isa, they ends with letter ya, which is an imperfect letter, harfun illa. That harfun illa cannot take fatah, cannot take kasran, cannot take dhamma. I discussed about it in one of our early classes. Now, Musa and Isa, who did the beating and who beats? Who did the beating, sorry, and who receives the beating? That's where the problem now setting. So, we've had a lot of problems, and if you can understand this simple logic, very simple, if you can understand this simple logic in grammatical analysis, you can understand the translations of the Quran. That is why when someone was translating the Quran, they say, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. Now, if I give you that statement, يَخْشَ اللَّهَ الْعُلَمَاءُ, it will be very, very clear for you to translate using this same logic, because Allah has fatha. It means Allah is the maf'ulun bi. Allah is the receiver of the action. And al-ulama'u has dhamma, which is the adidua of the action. Yaksha is a verb, to be afraid. So if you don't want to translate it, it will now look like those that are afraid of Allah most, those that fears Allah most, are al-ulama, are the scholars. That is what the translation is. But someone not having the knowledge of this says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. You say Allah is certainly afraid of scholars. وَلَيَّزُ بِاللَّهِ. So these are the things that made this an-nahwu very, very much more compulsory for one to comprehend before you start to say you want to do tafsir or any other thing. Now let's go by the definition. This is just an example of what you are going to be expecting from Babul I'rab once we start to give explicit explanation. Now, Babul I'rab, say Al I'rab, هو تغيير أواخر الكلم لاختلاف العوامل الداخلة عليها لفظا أو تقديرا. الإعراب grammatical analysis هو تغيير أواخر الكلم. It is the changing the states which the last letters of a word, awakhir al-kalim, the last letters of a word undergoes, the changes it undergoes, لاختلاف العوامل الداخلة عليها, for the sole reason of the things that comes into it, lafzan aw mahallan. What are those awamil that we're talking about? We're talking about things that would make it to change. For example, the verbs that come before it. Then the particles like min, ila, an, ala. All those ones, when they come in, they would make it to change. Now, for the case of the first sentence I gave you, daraba Umar Muhammada, the amil there that makes Umar to be marfu will not be daraba. Will be daraba, the verb. It is what makes Umar to be marfu. And the original amil that makes Umar to have dhamma, it is because he is the doer of the action. Then the amil that makes Mahmud to take fatha is because Mahmud is the receiver of the action. And the fact that Umar is already the doer, Umar is the one that slapped, that beats Mahmud, then that is the amil there that makes it to take fatha. When we're talking about amil at most time, we're talking about fa'il, amil, fa'il. So something that makes it to change. It was originally kitabu, but you now made kitaba, kitabi. So it is something that makes it to change from the state of dhamma to kasra and then to al-fatha. Now, that is the definition of العراب للعوامل الداخلة عليها, for the things, the adjectives and others that will enter inside it, prepositions and others, when they go inside it, they will make the last letter to change. Hence, the meaning will also change. So, those things that do come in, they enter lafzan aw taqdira. They enter lafzan aw taqdira. They don't just enter from pronunciation alone. They enter during pronunciation, They enter, obviously, as I just mentioned, as zahira, and then they enter taqdiran with assumption. There will be a case when you have to assume. You will just assume such thing is here. So, that is what we're talking about when we say al-i'rab. Now, aqsamuhu arba'a, it has four components. Al-i'rab has four components. I would come back to explain everything I'm talking about here. I just want to give us the definition, then before we start to do, before we start to do the explanation in our next class, inshallah. So, we have rafu'u. Rafu'u, as I used to tell you, marfu'u. Rafu'u, marfu'u. Number two, we have nasbu. I also used to say nasbu, mansub. We have khafdu. I used to tell you khafdu, makhfud. Or you say jarru, majrur. Jarun wa majrur. Khafid wa makhfud. Nasib wa mansub. Rafi' wa marfu'u. Then we have jazmu, jazim wa majzum. What we mean by rafu is dhamma. What we mean by nasbu is fatha. What we mean by khafdu is al-kasra. And al-jazmu is as-sukun. So those are the four components that we are going, that you are dealing with in al-i'rab. Al-asma min zalika al-rafu. Fal-asma min zalika al-rafu. النصب والخفض ولا جزم فيها. In the case of nouns only deal with only three things. Only three of those components can be used for a noun. There are only three things that can be used for a noun. The first one is arrafu, which is dhamma. The second one is al nasb, which is fatha. The third one is al khafdu, which is al kasra. Al sukun cannot be at the last letter of a noun. That is what he's saying. Wala jazma fiha. You cannot make the last letter of a noun to be sukun. Wala al-af'al min thalika. And for the verb, a verb in that carries a rafu. Yes, a verb can be marfu. Wal nasbu, a verb can be mansub. Wal jazmu, and a verb can be majzum. Wala khafda fiha. You don't put kasra in a verb. What we mean by a verb can be marfu is when we're talking about al-fi'l al-mudari, because al-fi'l al-mudari is marfu. When we say a verb can be mansub, we are talking about al-fi'l al-madi, because al-fi'l al-madi mabni da'iman ala al-fatha, just as I explained to you, it has fatha at the end, so it's mansub. And when we say a verb can be majzum, we're talking about al-fi'l al-amri. I told you, we discussed about fi'l al-amri. It was our last class, and you see that al-fi'l amri has always a sukun at the end of it. So, wala khafda fiha. Al-fi'l, a verb, can never take kasra. There is no verb that can end with kasra. A verb does not end with kasra. Just the same way a noun does not end with sukun. So, that is how the thing goes. This is the translation of it. Now let me just give you a quick preview of what you have, or let's say key points. In the i'rab, we have al-raf'u, you can call it marfu'. They will have also rafi'u. We have a nasbu.
The same way.
A nasb, we have mansub. We have nasib. We have al-jazmu, al-jarru first, al-jarru. We have majrur, is the most frequently used word. We have jar. Then we have And in this now we say or, and or means how. How means or, and so we say al-khafdu. So don't be confused. Al-khafdu and al-jarru means the same thing. Al-khafdu. Say makhfud. 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 Or khafid. 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 Now, the last one we have al-jazmu. We have majzum. We have jazimu. Jazim. Now, this is a shortcut for you. Whenever you see or say arrafu or marfu or rafu, we are talking about anything that has to do with this category. Arrafu. Dhamma, fatha, kasra. Sorry, dhamma, dhamma, dhamma. Then whenever you see or say anasbu or mansub or nasib, we're talking about anything that has to do with this category. Fatha, fatha, fatha. Then whenever you see or say al-jarru, majru, jarru, we're talking about anything that has to do with jar, kasra, kasra, kasra. Or whenever you see al-khafdu, or makhfud, or khafid, we're talking about anything that has to do with kasra, kasra, kasra. Al-jarru and al-khafdu are the same thing. Then when you see us al-jazmu or majzum, we are talking about anything that has to do with sukun, sukun, sukun at the end of any word. Mark that, at the end of any word as the last letter. So we would stop here before we start to go into al-i'rab. I will partially give you some of the key points too. So those key points, they are things that would help you to put in the Arabia. So I hope by our next 4 to 5 classes we would start to be omitting English out of the teaching, inshallah. We'll stop here. Still remain your brother Tassi Al-Fatih Abu Qadr. Qul qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Wa akhir da'wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.